The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. It's 7 a.m. on Sunday, January the 10th. Is today 10th? 11th. 11th. Yeah, there we go. Off by a day. Welcome to Court Radio, folks. If you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. Give us a call at 215-227-2727. I'm joined in the studio with my co-host. He's on the T-shirt, the one, the only, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning. Yay, hey. Finally, my crowd is back.
Yo.
My crowd
guess
is back.
What? You're on the T-shirt.
I know, finally. My name is on there. People can identify with me.
We have new T-shirts minted for 2015 for Court Radio listeners who we pick. You know, it's not fair. Life's not fair.
That's right. We just randomly pick you.
We randomly pick you. And if you want it, you got to call in.
We indiscriminately pick you.
215-227-2727. So, it's a sad story from a family standpoint, but okay. Listeners may find it to be amazing.
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 All right.
Or funny, or maybe they'll think it's sad too.
What is it?
A Temple University student sued her parents to pay for her tuition. Find that's funny?
Yeah.
See? I thought it would.
Why is it sad?
Tickle your funny bone. It's sad because for real, this family is in court and the daughter is the plaintiff and the parents who are divorced are the defendants, and she's really suing them. And, you know, the whole family's broken up. They're not talking to one another. They've got nothing to do with one another. They're angry.
Yeah, well.
This is an anomaly, legally speaking, because, you know, we are lawyers, so once in a while we have to actually discuss the law.
Yeah.
Legally speaking, this is happening in New Jersey. It can't happen in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, you have no duty, no legal duty in Pennsylvania to support your child's college education.
Right, so she got some basis for filing the lawsuit.
Check this out, though. It only applies to divorced or separated parents in New Jersey.
Right.
So if you're married in New Jersey, living together as one happy family, and you decide, hey, we're not paying for Sonny's college education because he didn't do enough, you know, shoveling snow as a youngster and putting the money away. We're not paying for it. You don't have a duty to pay for it if you're married and happily married and living together. But
if
you're separated or divorced and in New Jersey, you're screwed. You're going to have to pay for your kids' college education, whether you can afford it or not.
That's another reason not to drive over that bridge, right?
215-227-2727. So this is going on appeal. The judge ordered them, because that's the law, the judge ordered them to pay for $18,000 for her college education, and it's on appeal to the Superior Court in the Appellate Division in New Jersey. And the judge said that they don't have to pay it. There won't be any consequences if they don't pay it while the appeal is pending.
Gotcha. So she's, once again, the child suffers.
The child, yes.
This is why the laws are all geared in a way to protect the child, you know, because even with this dispute, who's the loser? She's not going to get to go to college until it's resolved.
I suppose. I don't know. I went to college without my parents'
help.
Well,
that's the other, yeah. I mean, she could get
I mean,
loans
I got a job. Right, I worked full-time, 40 hours a week.
Get a job.
Right? Yeah.
It's do you say that to people on the street and on the grates?
I don't know that it's as easy today to do that, but I did. I got a job, and I went to school full-time.
Right. Well.
That's the way it was back then in the day.
You're Dean Weitzman.
Hey, what do you think, folks? Is this something that you're in favor of? I mean, it's the law in New Jersey. You don't have a choice. Our Jersey callers, if you're divorced and you've got a child who's about to go into college.
Pony up.
Yeah, pony up or prepare to be a defendant. 215-227-2727. And guess who else is in the news, David?
Who? What, an individual?
An individual, yes. Our favorite guy got away with murder, George Zimmerman.
Oh, God, yes.
George Zimmerman is back in the news in New Jersey. I mean, I guess it's proven now that he's got a short temper.
A friend of mine.
A short fuse.
A friend of mine who became a psychologist, and his comment to me was, the best indication, one of the tenets of certain psychology circles is, the best indication of future behavior is past behavior. So it's kind of like you just said, confirmation that he may have been guilty of all of the things that were aggression and all. Well, we know that. It's not that he's guilty. He was. He's an aggressive kind of guy. I think that was kind of admitted by him and certainly exhibited in his behavior over the
unjustified
past.
Aggression. Yeah, yeah. Because here, against an innocent woman, his girlfriend,
and with
he
weapon.
Hauls a wine bottle at her head.
Yeah,
and he has now been charged with ag assault. He made bail, and he is in Florida waiting trial. 215-227-2727. If you got legal questions, My Philly Lawyer and Court Radio have the answer. There's only one place to go in Philly for your legal questions, and that's Court Radio and My Philly Lawyer.
Zimmerman.
Yeah, Zimmerman.
Yeah, he's, hey, look, it's only a matter of time.
Only a matter of time.
He'll be behind bars.
Yeah. 215-227-2727. It was sort of like the Zimmerman reminds me of somebody else who probably got away with murder, OJ.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, look what happens. Eventually, both of them found themselves back in the criminal justice system.
Totally unrelated incidents. You know?
Yeah.
Just another incident. You'd think if you dodged that major bullet, committing murder. Look at OJ. You went through a trial. Your whole life at stake. And
that
then,
you would smarten up. That change your behavior.
At least prevent yourself from ever getting in that situation again.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, how long did it take OJ? A year or two, and he's in jail for a long time.
I mean, yeah. It's a lack of gratitude. They don't realize.
Crazy.
And you know, it's just like we can do whatever we want to do kind of behavior.
Hey, you just reminded me because I saw this on the news this weekend, and it really disturbed me because this is someone I grew up with, but I hadn't been following it. But Don Tolleson, you familiar with what's going on?
I am. Actually, I have a spy in the courtroom.
Oh, my God. What happened to Don Tolleson?
He's representing himself in Bucks County, and he looks horrible.
He looks like death warmed over. I mean, I hate to say it, Don. Sorry. But death warmed over, and he's representing himself. I heard that his opening statement was nonsensical, referencing, you know, biblical thing, like just crazy. And they offered him, I'm not going to go through his whole story, but they offered him 2 years in prison. Now he can get upwards of 30. You think the judge is going to slam him.
I don't know. We'll see. I think maybe this is what happens. He's found guilty, and the real lawyer comes in at the time of sentencing and prepares a case about how crazy he is. You know, sounds to me like your behavior that you've heard
about.
Yeah,
sounds crazy.
Sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah, man.
This
guy was revered. I remember. I loved Don Tolleson.
I think drugs and alcohol maybe play a part in Donnie's demise.
Yeah, I agree. And goes to what you've always said. You know, over the years, is wish there were programs to. You know what I mean. He should have sought out something.
Listen, if we treated addiction like the disease that it is,
right,
our prisons would be empty. 215-227-2727. But then, if they're empty, what do all the politicians do? You know, they can't. They're not creating more crimes.
Well, I don't think they'd be empty. They'd still have violent crimes and stuff.
Yeah, there'd be about 20 or 30% of the population that's currently in prison would still be
right,
there.
Right.
The other 70% or 80% wouldn't.
Well, and hopefully they'd be taxpaying, working, and you know, we'd be okay.
Yeah, but could the system support them?
I'm not sure.
Or does the system want them to be where they are?
Yeah,
well. 215-227-2727. David, we got on the line. Line number one, she was like, her fingers were ready.
Called before we were on air.
Yeah, we got our court radio listener, my second mom, we got Lil Daniels. Yo, Lil, welcome back to court radio.
Good morning. Welcome to you. I called you to say happy birthday. Your birthday was Thursday.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
I mentioned that last week, but
yeah.
I forgot in between.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'm 26 this year. It was
squared.
Well, I know I'm going to take a couple minutes, but you know how I am about words, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Your name is D. D stands for determined. E stands for everything you can do. A stands for always. And N stands for never give up on your clients for what they need until you finish the job. That's why you are called my Philly lawyer. Happy birthday, son.
Whoa.
Wow.
Thank you, Mom. You know, that we might have to preserve that for posterity for the next commercial. Have a great Sunday. Thanks for always being there.
Yeah, okay. I'm on the way to church.
All Bye. Right.
Love you.
Love you too. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye bye.
I could come up with a different acronym.
Yeah.
For each one of those letters. I don't want to think about that one. Dirtbag is the first one. Dirtbag envelope.
Envelope, yeah. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Ronnie Lee from Darby. Hey. Ronnie, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's your question?
Okay, the question that I have is my estranged wife, she does taxes for one of the major tax preparer.
Mm-hmm.
But I notice when she does my taxes and other people's taxes, she does taxes on the side that she don't put her name on it. Now, if we get ordered, will we be responsible to pay for any extra money if we can't prove what she put on the taxes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter who does your taxes. You have the obligation. First of all, you are the one who signs it. Even if someone else does, they require the taxpayer's signature. And that signature is saying that you've reviewed everything and that you understand and commission everything. Here's the deal. If you hire somebody or if you have someone else do the taxes, obviously you want someone who's certified and signs off on it and does put their name on it, because then if something does happen, while you are ultimately responsible, you could go to them and say, hey, I relied upon your expertise. You advised me of this, that. I'm not a tax professional, so I took your word at it. I understood what you told me, and we did that, and you were wrong. And you might be able to make a claim against them. But in your situation, you can't. So I would advise anyone to not allow others to do their tax return unless that person is willing to sign their name and there's someone who is certified and licensed and has insurance to cover them. It's just like hiring a contractor. You want to make sure they have insurance, they're licensed, that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. She's certified.
I understand. So you want to make sure, but does she have insurance to do it on her own and not go within her major company that she works for? I would bet if they knew she was doing that, they wouldn't probably like that because, you know, they might have some liability that they don't know about.
All right, Ronnie Lee, thanks for listening to Court Radio. Have a great Sunday.
All right, you too. Thanks.
So don't do it.
David says it.
That's my advice.
Final word. All right, we got one last tax question. It must be tax season. It must be tax season. Let's talk to Mike from the great state, the little state, the tiny little state of Delaware. Michael.
Yeah, how you doing?
Taxes in Delaware. Tax-free shopping.
Hey, man, yeah, let me ask you my question. But happy birthday, too, man. You know, I don't want to be the one without saying happy birthday.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
I listen to y'all all the time, too.
Right.
Coming from work, I was listening to y'all. I had a problem with my taxes. I filed my taxes. They just passed a law where the unemployment office can take your taxes this year. They actually took it last year. They actually took my taxes. They said I have received the extra check. And they've been looking for me for 3 years. I never received nothing in the mail from them. I never received nothing. I just actually went to go file my taxes this year. I'm like, get in touch with us. We got all your money because we just passed the code. We're looking for you for 3.5 to 4 years. Now you owe us 3.5, 4 years worth of money because we've been looking for you. So they're trying to say actually cash the check, basically unemployment check, and it was too much money, I guess. You know what I mean? I went back to work for the same job. You know, I only cashed one check. Only had one check. So they haven't seen me. I haven't talked to them. And they just took my taxes out of nowhere.
Ah, so what they did was they claim you owe the money. They took your money out of your tax refund. Is that what you're saying?
No, they took all my taxes. They actually said they just passed a bill in Delaware. I don't know if y'all heard of it. Where if you owe the unemployment office any money, they take the money from you. My thing is, I haven't owed unemployment office. I haven't been out of work for over 4 or 5 years.
They
trying to say they've been looking for me for 4 or 5 years.
So out of your,
they gave me a check.
Out of your paycheck, they took money right to unemployment.
No, I'm saying I went to go file my taxes. Out of my tax refund money, they took everything.
Okay, that's where we started.
Unemployment office.
Okay, so they took all your money out of the refund, and it went right to the unemployment office. And how much was that? Mikey, how much was that?
It was $6,500. I got two kids.
Ooh,
I'm trying to figure out why would y'all take that much money from me.
Ouch.
Well, I called and called. I tried to get in touch with somebody because it's coming to this year, and I'm trying to file again. I don't know if I'm going to get a lawyer or how I'm about to do or how I'm about to take the precautions so my money won't get taken again. So it was $6,500. I called. This is what they tell me. It was like a well, we need information or we need some things to say because we was looking for you for 4 years. This is interest built up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they basically trying to say it's more money they're going to take this year, too. I'm like, hold up. Y'all cannot do that. This is against the law. Well, we just passed the bill. That's why I said if y'all heard about this law, this bill just went through. I know other Delaware listeners listening to this, they'll be like, okay, yeah, they heard about this bill that they actually taking your money. And, I mean, this has messed me up, and I'm trying to figure out if I should get a lawyer because I've been trying to call the person that's in charge of the facility, the unemployment facility that's in charge of that office or that's dealing with people in the unemployment office that say they owe you money. So they actually taking people tax money now.
Okay.
You owe them.
I think you got to figure out, how much is owed.
If any.
If anything, yeah. And
I mean, now
how much, let me ask you something.
They took $6,500. They said it was over $8,000, almost $9,000 over the past 3 years that I owe. So it's like still like $3,000, $4,000 lingering out there. They're trying to take that probably this year too. I haven't filed yet, but I'm figuring I need to take steps because I not only
how long were you on unemployment?
Yeah, that's a lot of money. I mean, how much were you making?
I maybe been on unemployment. I might have been on unemployment for maybe 6 months, if that, and went back to work. This was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, they're probably. It almost sounds
penalty interest,
but it almost sounds to me like they're saying all the money you got while you were on that claim that you weren't entitled to it, and they want it back. And because I mean, how much are you getting on unemployment? A couple hundred dollars a week?
Nah, I actually was getting the max at the time. You feel me? Because
Because you're a high income earner.
That's when I got my claim again. Yeah, basically, I was a high income earner, and I was getting the max at the time. But
yeah,
it was only 6 months. I went back to the same job. They basically said I got one check or two checks more than I was supposed to have.
Well, that wouldn't
that's
be.
Still not even,
yeah, that's not even close
still
to
not
6,500.
Even 8,000. Yeah, I mean, come on.
All right, yeah, I would say you got it.
4 years, so I've been looked at. It's like something fishy here, and I don't know how I got pulled into it like that. So I'm trying to figure out.
You got to get.
Can y'all tell me, do I get a lawyer? What
well,
do I do?
Here's what I'm going to tell you. All right, I'm going to give you the answer, Mike. You got to take the day off, okay? You got to go down to unemployment, and you got to get an accounting, of what you owe.
Yep.
Then you'll have what you need to walk into a lawyer to have an intelligent conversation. Right now, you're not even sure what's what and what they're trying to charge
you. Yeah, I'm kind of like, Talking about it drove me crazy. I just ain't know what to say first, man, because I'm hot about that. And
yeah.
I'm trying to figure out.
Guess what?
I heard about that bill.
I could tell you're hot. All the
we
way
can tell
from
you're hot.
All
yeah.
the way from Delaware. I could tell you're hot. You,
feel the
you
heat.
Need to take
I'm
a day off.
Philly, y'all. I'm telling y'all.
All right, Mike, God. You take a day off and go to unemployment.
Yeah, get a printout.
Get a printout and come see a lawyer. If you need us, you know where to find us. 215-227-2727. Have a great day in Delaware, Mike.
Thank you.
All right.
Right. That's a nightmare. Quagmire of red tape.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and hard. You know what? It's so, ugh.
The tax you're man coming.
You're expecting to get your tax refund check. Your kids are waiting for it. You're saying,
it's a lot,
listen,
too. $6,500.
Yeah,
shoot.
We're gonna go out to dinner tonight. Daddy's getting his refund check.
Daddy's got lobster for you.
And you open the envelope, and it's empty.
There is no envelope.
Oh.
The envelope doesn't come.
Oh, I could feel Mike's pain
yeah.
from Delaware. Ugh.
And then you can't even buy things for tax-free.
All right, listen, we're already 20 minutes after the hour, and all we've done is babbled about stuff. We've answered a few questions. We got to talk. We're going to hit the hot-button topic, and then we're going to go to break. We'll be right back. The hot-button topic today, folks, is all things SEPTA.
Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority.
Yeah. The bus company you love to hate. We're going to talk about how you make a claim against SEPTA, what they owe you if you're involved in an accident, and how not to get ripped off by SEPTA. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Dean Weitzman is here, live and in person, Court Radio, Sunday, January the 11th. It's 7:23. Wake up and get your legal questions answered. Hey, guess what, David?
What?
It's cold outside.
Damn, it's cold out.
19 degrees. Everything's frozen, including you if you're out there. So stay home, stay warm, and ask your legal questions today.
Yes, it is very cold out.
215-227-2727. You know, that's the only number you need to use. You can also go online to MyPhillyLawyer.com. If you've got questions, we've got the answers. We represent folks who are injured in auto accidents, and one of the ways many of our clients get injured is being involved as passengers or as struck by SEPTA buses, trolleys, paratransit, you name it, they have it, and they are crashing around the city.
You know, I've never had a, I've had all of those cases, never had a regional rail case.
Had it.
I know you had one. I remember that one.
Trains crashed, two trains crashed, and the bodies were everywhere, and they called My Philly Lawyer. And I've also had a regional rail case where somebody actually fell out of the train.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
And
he
passed away from those injuries. SEPTA, you know, listen, I mean, in all fairness, I'm kidding around with SEPTA, but the fact is that, you know, they're operating hundreds and hundreds of buses every day, trolleys, L's, trains.
You can't possibly operate at the level that they do and not have
accidents.
Yeah, just I mean, it's going to happen. It has to.
It has to happen,
human,
says David.
Human, well, we're humans, agree. We're fallible. I mean, it just happens.
But there are things about SEPTA, folks, that are different than every other motor vehicle accident we could be involved in. For instance, if the normally, the way your medical benefits get paid, if you're involved in an accident, your medical benefits are paid by your own insurance if you own an insured vehicle, whether you're in it or not. If you're involved in an auto accident, even as a pedestrian, and you own a motor vehicle, your motor vehicle insurance will pay for your medical expenses.
Correct.
That's a fact, right, David?
A known fact. A legal fact.
If you do not own a motor vehicle and you don't reside with someone who's a resident relative, okay, because just the same applies in that case. Like, you know, if you're living with your aunt and your aunt has a motor vehicle in the household and your aunt's insurance, you know, your aunt has insurance on her vehicle and you're driving in my car and we're involved in an accident, you're going to get your medical bills paid by your aunt's insurance.
Doesn't raise a rate.
No.
That's what everyone cares about.
Yeah.
But that's the law. No fault. It doesn't matter who's at fault.
So you're going to go back to your home insurance to pay your medical expenses. There's an exception. The exception is if you don't have any home insurance, then you go to the vehicle you're in that pays for your medical. So if you're a passenger in my car insurance will pay for your medicals if you don't have any. Typically, up until recently, if you were in a SEPTA bus, that's a motor vehicle.
Right.
And if you don't have any at home, SEPTA paid your medical expenses. Not so anymore. New case came down recently, and it says that if the SEPTA bus is not moving, physically moving, at the time of the accident, SEPTA has no obligation to pay your medical expenses.
We're still trying to wrap our heads around what that distinction is and why.
So,
but I think I know why, just so to save money.
If the SEPTA bus is standing still and it's rear-ended, which is typically how this happens, SEPTA bus is standing still and it's rear-ended, and the you're injured in that accident, you cannot get your medical expenses paid by SEPTA because they were not moving at the time of the accident. There must be movement of the bus. Same scenario, SEPTA's going through a red light. They're clearly at fault, not that that matters.
Right.
But they're going through a red light and they're struck by a car that's going through a green light. SEPTA's insurance will pay. The opposite scenario, SEPTA's going through a green light. They're absolutely not at fault. There's 50 witnesses that say they're
still
not.
Still going to pay.
They're going to pay for your medical expenses.
Now, here's one, because now this is going to come up and it's going to be relevant. And then you got word for word and who saw what and what. SEPTA's coming to a stop. They're just about stopped. Almost stopped. But are they moving?
Yes.
A slight amount.
Yes.
Just a little bit. The tire is moving a little and they're
hit.
You
have to go to the bathroom or something?
No.
Okay.
And they're hit. Hey, come on. I'm trying to express myself.
Okay.
And they're hit.
Yes.
So the bus operator says, I was stopped. I had my brake on and the
every
it came
passenger,
to a stop.
Right. Every passenger needs to say that bus, I mean, if it's true.
Right, right, right.
And here, oh, you brought up a great point, though.
I know, of course I do.
There is video in every, I mean, yeah,
that
I have seen.
Tell you if it's moving. Very slowly.
Well, true, true. But that it just made me think that nowadays, you know, it used to be.
Yeah, it used to be you get two people. I know what you're going to say. You're on a bus. There's four other people on the bus with you. It's in an accident, and there's 30 claims of people on the bus.
Back in the day,
yeah,
that happened.
Yeah, back in the day, that used to happen.
Back in the day, lawyers would get jammed up, you know, because SEPTA would be like, hey, there was four people on the bus, and there's 30 claimants.
Of course, we would say, of course, yeah, right, four people, right, right.
Yeah.
But
well,
now there's video.
Now there's video, and they have used this video, and I like it.
Yeah,
they have used this video to demonstrate that people aren't injured, because literally there's a tap, right? A tap, and nobody on the bus moves one iota. They don't move one millimeter.
You don't even know there's a tap.
Their hair
there,
doesn't even move. I mean, everything is still stationary, and then you get 30 people who say, I was injured in the bus.
Now, by the same token, the reason we like it, you wonder, is you live by that sword, you die by the sword. So the video also will show the legitimate claim.
Oh, yeah.
And they then can argue it, which makes it's good for everybody.
Like, I've had cases where SEPTA sent me the video, and you see your client. Your client is in the bus, and the client barely moves. I mean, really doesn't move at all.
Right.
And then giggles, okay? It's like you're, you know, and then giggles and then turns around and starts talking to people around them. And then all of a sudden they're making a claim. It looks really like it's a made up claim.
Right. And it very well may be.
Yeah. And so you go into court and SEPTA brings in this evidence. Yeah. You know, what do you think a jury or a judge is going to give somebody like that? The giggler.
Right.
The giggler.
Right.
Nah, it's not going to work.
No.
And so SEPTA has really pared down the claims. You know, 215-227-2727. We got to pay the bills, David. We got callers. We got a ton of things to talk about with SEPTA. The truth is
we don't have the time.
No, but we're going to get back. We're going to talk. There's plenty to talk about, and we will talk about it. Let's talk to Timmy from West Philly. Hey, Timmy.
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question?
Well, the question was, I had a property that was, we had a company, a real estate corporation, and it was put in the corporation's name, and a business partner was behind my back and put the property in their name after we already had a deed for the property in a corporation's name. So I want to know what I can do.
Okay, so who is this business partner?
It's my mom, actually.
Uh-huh. Wow, now the plot plot thickens. Talk about kids taking moms to court. All right, so Tim's mom and you, Tim and your mom, you're both...
You have a corporation.
You have a corporation. You're both officers of the corporation?
Yes, both managing members, yes.
Well, she's president, you're what?
See,
well, no, actually, we never discussed that, and that's probably one of the problems, but I'm pretty much the CEO. I found the property. I came up with the business name.
Well, obviously,
my idea.
Obviously, she must
Is it
have,
a real business? Is it incorporated?
Yeah. Yes, it's incorporated.
Well, someone must have signed your name, then, if you're listed as the owner or CEO or whatever.
No, it's not signed his name. It's in the corporate name.
Someone would have to sign the deed over
right,
from the corporation.
Somebody in the corporation, some authorized officer of the corporation would have to sign the deed. Now, if you all have a corporation, but you're not following the formalities and there's no officers or, you don't have bylaws, I mean, there's reasons why you have all these little niceties with regards to a corporation. Then you could turn around and say, hey, Dean, she's not authorized under the bylaws to sign. Two people have to sign or only I can sign. Then you have a leg to stand on. If there's no rules or regs required under your corporation as to who can sign and you both are officers, then I guess either one of you has the ability to do that.
All right. Well, that, the problem is we already had the deed in a corporation's name.
Right.
He contacted the owner and told him something else, and he came and signed another deed in her name.
Aha.
Uh-huh. She filed downtown. The first one was, yeah, it was never filed downtown. I'm sorry, I left that.
Oh, it was
so
never filed.
Okay, so so now it sounds like the two people in the corporation, mom and son, are at odds with one another.
You sue your partner.
Yeah, and so if there's an agreement, you know, even if it's now here's the thing with regards to real estate, the agreements have to be in writing. If there's no agreement in writing that the corporation,
well, there presumably was the original sale was the original deed, which was in the corporation.
Who paid for this property, by the way?
I made the down payment, and I have a notarized contract with the owner saying I made the down payment, and I had 90 days to make the rest of the balance. I put the rest of the balance in buying supplies for my house. My mom paid the rest of the balance. You follow? So that's kind of the situation. And then I was rehabbing a property, and it was a power struggle, and then she went behind my back and got the house put in her name.
Wow, this is like a reality TV show.
Yeah. You're gonna have to, you might have to sue mom.
Yeah, you're going to have to sue mom and claim that she's in violation of your contract, your agreement,
yeah,
which is a contract.
Yeah.
And then the question is, well, do you have the cash to pay mom back the, you know, you made the down payment. She took her own money to pay the rest of the property. So at some point, you're going to have to pay that back to her as well. Do you have it?
Yes.
You got it now?
Well, not at this point because the house is being rehab, and most of any money I have is going into the rehab house. But I'm starting to get to that point, saving up money, and eventually, yes.
How long did this all happen? How long ago did this happen?
I would say about 6 months to a year, of course, over the time.
No, but when did she sign? When did she, fraudulently, according to you, sign this agreement? Get the guy to sign the agreement.
I would say about 8 months ago. Maybe
okay.
6 months.
Yeah. Well, you got plenty of time. I mean, you know, if you're alleging a breach of contract in Pennsylvania, it's a 4-year statute of limitations as opposed to a 2-year statute on bodily injury claims and personal injury. So you have a 4-year window here to do something. I wouldn't wait that long, though. I'd get on it sooner rather than later. But it really may entail your suing old mommy dearest there. All right. Timmy, thanks for listening to Court Radio, and good luck with that property, dude. All right. 215-227-27.
Wait till Mother's Day.
27.
Here's your Mother's Day present.
Yeah. Let's pick up on line one, Kevin from Southwest Philly. Yo, Kev, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
All good. Right. How long have you been listening to Court Radio?
For the last about 2 years or so.
All right. Well, guess what? We're going to give you a brand new Court Radio T-shirt. Hold on the line after I answer your question.
Thank you very much.
Extra large.
What size? Yeah. What size are you, Kev?
I'm trying to get the 3X if you have them in that size.
Wow.
3X. Dude.
Special order here.
I'm thinking about a diet for this for 2015.
Yeah. How about an X? How about an XL and Nutrisystem?
Let's do the 2X. You got me on phone laughing about me.
Wait. I'm laughing with you because I got to lose some weight, too. I got to lose some weight, too, this year, and I'm committing myself to trying to...
No, you're actually committing yourself. We're committing you into an area where there's no food.
All right, Kev, what's your question?
My question is the purpose of an arbitration here in a car accident I was involved in almost 2 years and 10 months ago.
Right.
And what's the advantages or disadvantages as the plaintiff of going to this arbitration after 2.5 years?
Whoa.
You're the plaintiff? You're the injured party?
Yes.
So you're not talking about, I think...
Well, you got to go.
No. He could be talking about an arbitration outside of the court system.
Okay, wait.
We need to determine that.
All right. Thank you, David.
Yes, that you're
Kevin,
welcome.
Were you injured?
Yes, sir.
Did you have an attorney?
Yes, sir.
Have you presented a claim for bodily injuries?
Yes, sir.
Filed a lawsuit.
Have you gotten paid yet?
No, sir.
Okay. So your lawyer filed a lawsuit to collect for your bodily injuries. As a result of that lawsuit, you've got an upcoming arbitration.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. But is it with the court system, or did you take it out of the court system?
I think it's out of the court system. It's going to be a hearing at my lawyer's office, I guess.
See, that's what I'm thinking. It's a,
okay,
it's,
whether it's in the court system or out, the advice is the same.
Well,
you got to go.
That's true.
You got to go because this is your opportunity to let the folks know what happened to you in this accident, how you suffered, what your injuries are, so that they can evaluate your claim to pay you for it.
But this could
be the end of the line.
But here's why you need to know more from your lawyer, because and this is why I asked the question, if it's outside the court system, then there's a lot of different versions of what can be done. And your lawyer and the other lawyer may have agreed to do what's called a binding arbitration, which means whatever happens that day, that's it. Can't appeal it, ever. And you need to know that.
Yes, sir.
So, Kev, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Since you said this was 2 years and 11 months ago, and since you said that you've been listening to Court Radio for 2 years, I'm presuming yes, that if this had happened recently, you'd be calling me to represent you.
You're most definitely right.
All right.
I'll refer you to anyone.
All right.
Family members and friends.
Well, then you definitely deserve a Court Radio T-shirt. Hold on the line. Did Monica get your address?
Did you get
Kevin's address? Yes, she did. All right, Kevin. Peace be with you, brother. Thanks for calling
to
Court Radio.
Ask your lawyer questions and go to the arbitration.
All right. There you go, David. Ask questions. You're right on target today. Ask questions. Go to the arb.
Wow. Deep thoughts. I went to law school for that.
You went to Temple Law School.
I did.
I was there.
The Beasley
Were we there
school
at the same time?
I graduated 89.
Yes, you were a youngster. I graduated 87.
Right, we were a couple years apart.
You were first year, I was third year.
Yes, so you didn't even know I existed. Yeah, third year. You were out of there.
I was already working.
Right.
Okay, let's talk to Tony on line three. Oh, Tony, welcome to Court Radio. Well,
hello, how you doing? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. What's your question?
My question is, I have a subpoena, and I want to get out of it. It's testifying against my brother, and it's a domestic situation between him and his wife. And what's the penalty if I break the subpoena?
Well, it depends. I mean, if the judge ultimately demands you to be there and issues a bench warrant, and then you ignore the bench warrant, and then the sheriffs come get you for being in violation of a court order. Because subpoena is a court order.
Correct.
So it's the judge saying, hey, we want Tony in courtroom 23 at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. And that's the order. And if you say, I'm not getting involved in this crap, I'm out of here, you're not saying that to your sister or your sister-in-law or your brother. You're saying that to the judge. And so he could put you in jail. She could put you in jail.
Yep.
That's what could happen if you disregard a subpoena.
I'm interested to know, it's domestic relations, so it's not a criminal matter, right? This is a domestic family court, correct?
It's criminal, but...
Oh, it is criminal. Okay. Well, then you got to go. In a criminal hearing, you're being subpoenaed by the prosecutor. So if they find that they want your testimony, you're... blatantly, you're in contempt of court if you don't show up.
And the fact that they're family members doesn't change anything.
No, it does not.
You know, a wife or a husband has no duty to testify against their spouse.
That's the law.
That's the law. But a brother, sister, mother, nope, that does not apply. And so, good luck with that, Tony, but,
Be forewarned.
Yeah, you are. David has forewarned you. The Grim Reaper. Hey, Tony, I feel like you're in pain right now. I'm going to make it a little better. We're getting you a Court Radio T-shirt. And
when you go to court, wear it when you go to testify.
When you go to court, wear it. Stay on the line. Monica will get your address. Hold on.
Thank you.
All right. 215-227-2727. We're going to circle back. Our hot button topic, folks, is SEPTA, all things SEPTA. Everything is videoed. Assume that everything is videoed on the SEPTA bus. 2, SEPTA has no duty to pay your medical expenses unless the bus is moving.
Right. That's recent.
And that's recent.
I'd like to add a 2.5, which is that all of this is dependent upon being in a motor vehicle, and buses are motor vehicles. Well, guess what? If you're on a trolley or a train, they're not motor vehicles.
They're not considered.
They don't have independent wheels, so they're not considered motor vehicles, which means none of this, which is the automobile law, what we're talking about, applies. None of it.
That's correct. You don't get medical benefits at all for SEPTA, trolley accidents.
No.
What about trackless trolleys?
Interesting.
Because I used to take the 59B. I used to take the 59B up Castor Avenue.
The Roosevelt Mall.
Yeah.
I used to take it too.
To go to a school.
59B. I remember that. That was like the most popular bus.
I'd wait outside the Bushrod Library for the 59B.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that trackless trolleys are considered.
If anybody ever wonders, is Dean Weitzman really from Philadelphia?
59B. That's all you got to say.
That's it. Dude, I was on the 59B before you were born.
But anyway, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that a trackless trolley is a motor vehicle because it has independent wheels and it can, you know, turn the corners that way. I'm not so sure, though. I'm not 100% certain. I should be, but I don't know. Do you know for sure?
It depends on whether there's a motor in it. Is it electric? Or is there a motor?
I don't know the makeup. I think they're both a trackless trolley.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I know they need to do that overhead thing. That's why.
See, this is why God made legal books and and computers, because I've forgotten more than I remembered. In any event, yeah, the producer thinks that we're actually having a conversation.
She's excited.
Like we might be off the air. 215-227-2727. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
That's me. It's Dean Weitzman. And this is Court Radio. And it's Sunday, January the 11th. And it's 7:40. 49. And it's 19
and
degrees.
And it's freaking cold.
Yeah. 19. Well, you might think we're out on the corner given doing the radio show, David. It's warm and toasty in
it
here.
It is. It is nice and toasty.
Yeah, but it's cold out, folks. Dress warm when you do get out there. In the meantime, we got legal questions to answer. And let's talk to John on line 3 from North Philly. Hey, John, welcome to Court Radio. Oh, John.
Whoa, listen
Hello?
To that.
Oh, John.
This is not John.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously not John. Hmm. Okay, well, what's your name?
Hi,
what's your name?
Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Tony. Okay.
You got a question we can answer?
I wanted to know if someone had passed away and so my mom had passed away. But I've been going on this site, this Pennsylvania Unclaimed site, and her name is on there for like several things.
Okay.
Would I be able to claim for my mom?
Well, how many other family members on your generation are there? How many other children of moms?
It's me and my two brothers.
And did you raise an estate? Did when mom passed away, did you go to City Hall and file papers that she had passed away?
No, because I was underage at the time when she passed away.
How long ago she passed?
I'm 44 now. She passed away when I was 11.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, 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 wow. In any event, in order to, when somebody's passed, in order to collect property that was owned by that someone, you have to have an estate raised. It's not too late. It's a long time ago, but it's not too late. You're going to have to raise an estate in City Hall.
It's actually not, won't be, get it, you got to get a death certificate.
Yeah. It's not that different.
I have it.
All right, okay. And then you get all the other siblings.
All
to
three
sign
of you are going to have to go down to City Hall at the same time, unless they sign something called renunciations, which I don't expect you're going to have them do. But if you wanted to, you could have them sign renunciation forms, allowing you to be the administrator of the estate. But if that doesn't happen, then the three of you have to show up down at City Hall together, raise the estate, pay some money, raise the estate, and then whoever the administrator is could request the property be returned to the estate.
Okay.
And you can find out, first of all, you have the authority to find out what it is, how much it is.
Yeah, it might be 20 cents. You don't know what it is, you know, so... This may be a pointless exercise, or it might be, you know, $3 million, and then you can call my Philly lawyer and say, thank you very much. All right, dear.
Yes, I can.
All
yes,
right,
I
Tony, take care. Have a great Sunday.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. 215-227-2727. David?
Yes.
SEPTA.
SEPTA.
So, those videos... They're not paying for PIP. They only have a 1530 uninsured, underinsured motorist, uninsured motorist. They have no underinsured benefits,
That's
none.
Correct.
They have a $30,000 uninsured policy. So you're an innocent victim sitting on a bus. Ba-boom! The bus gets hit by Charlie, the uninsured driver. And
right.
There's 12 people on the bus.
Right.
What's your case worth?
12 divided by 30, all right?
Yeah, about $2,500.
Yeah. Well, if everything's even.
Yeah, well.
There could be some people that are severely injured and you're, you know. But, yeah, for the most part, $2,500.
And so folks might be surprised to hear that. Like, SEPTA does not have high limits when it comes to uninsured motorists. So, but if you have a car at home, can you collect from the car at home?
If you have the right coverage, you can.
And what coverage would that be?
Uninsured motorist and underinsured motorist.
There you go.
Yeah, that's why you need it.
Uninsured motorist on your home policy would pay you if you're involved in a SEPTA bus accident and you're not being fully compensated for your injuries. 215-227-2727. What happens if you we had a caller post a question.
Okay.
If you get hit by a car
yes.
while stepping off a SEPTA bus or trolley, who's responsible?
Well, under this new law, obviously, I would hope that you're stepping off a stopped vehicle.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
Therefore, it's stopped. They're not going to pay your medical.
Okay.
So it depends on the factors we mentioned earlier. Do you own or someone in your household, a relative, a blood relative, own a vehicle? And if they do, and it has insurance, we hope it does, that would pay your medical.
Right.
If it doesn't, then...
If you don't have insurance at home...
And you
got stepped off, got hit by a car.
Then you would go the insurance company for the car that hit you because...
I feel like I'm giving you a legal task here.
No.
There was a little fear in your eyes there.
Because I was thinking of the assigned claims.
What's the answer?
I know.
Okay.
I was thinking of the assigned claims plan, but then I realized if there's any insurance available, they won't pay. And just to explain that to everyone, it would be the car that struck you or struck the bus and caused you injury. But if that car is uninsured and there's no insurance anywhere, there is a fund set up by the state, by the Commonwealth, called the Assigned Claims Plan, which pays up to $5,000 in medical and another additional $10,000 for injury if there's no insurance at all. But if there's any insurance anywhere involved in that collision, they don't even get involved.
Here's the thing. What if you're in a trolley and
yes.
the trolley is struck by a car?
Right.
And you'd said earlier that you don't have medical benefits if you're a passenger in a trolley because it's not a motor vehicle.
From SEPTA, correct.
Who pays your medical expenses?
Well, if you're not in a quote-unquote motor vehicle, then technically you're considered a pedestrian. So it's no different than if you were walking on the street and struck by a car.
And the answer would be?
The same I said before. If you own a car at home, then it would be the insurance on that. If not, then the insurance on the car that hit you. And if they don't have insurance, the assigned claims plan would pay because there is no insurance anywhere. So it's the
okay.
same answer.
Very good.
Yes.
You passed the test. You passed.
Okay.
Let's talk to Adrian from Wilmington, Delaware.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to wake you up, Adrian. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
What's your question? What's your question?
My question is about automobile insurance. All right, a little complicated situation has occurred. My son, I rented a car for my son to drive, and he was on the paperwork. He was, legally driving the rental, but it was taken out by me. I used my credit card. So a truck sideswiped him, and he totaled the car. So when we filed the claim, I didn't have insurance for the rental. I had full coverage on my own automobile insurance, including uninsured and underinsured motorists. So when I filed a claim with my insurance company, Progressive, they asked me a bunch of questions. And at the time, he wasn't here. So I made a comment that, he wasn't here right now, that he stays with his girlfriend. He lives with his girlfriend sometimes, which he does. But right. He's a resident here as well. He's on my lease, and I have bills here in his name. He gets mail here.
Right.
Anyway, so they respond back. About 2-3 months later, it takes them to respond, saying that they will not pay for the damages to the rental and that the uninsured motorist coverage will not pay for the coverage on the rental because only for a driver, a resident relative, who lives in my house.
Right. Okay, so here's the thing.
We're
running out of time, so let me just jump right in here and tell you, Adrian, that a lot will depend on the language you used in that statement. Let me ask you a question. Did you have a lawyer representing you when you gave that statement to Progressive?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, I would smack you, but you're too far away. You're in Wilmington. You need to have...
Never give a statement.
Always have a lawyer, and always have my Philly lawyer.
This is why they want you to give a statement, because they Progressive too. Like, it's been so crazy.
We got 13 seconds. Here's the bottom line. I need to see that statement and hear that statement in order to know whether whatever you said would really legally give them a basis to do what they're claiming to do. Give us a call during the week. 215-227-2727. All right. Thank you, Adrian. Bye-bye. Folks, we ran out of time. It's all the time we've been allotted. We'll see you next Sunday, same time, same place. God bless. Have a great week.
Bye.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.